The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Hello and welcome to the William Hill Racing Podcast. Alex Dunn here, joined by Chris Pimlott, to look ahead to the best of Friday's racing. We've got three races to look at Exeter in just a few moments. Decent racing as well on Friday. Action from Lingfield and Warwick, as well as Exeter in the afternoon, Wolverhampton in the evening, and of course, Dundalk. We'll get to Exeter in just a moment. First things first, hello Mr. Pimlott, how on earth are you?
Good afternoon to you, Alex. I'm absolutely in fine form, certainly better than the weather that we've got here. The day's just ticking by off the calendar now for the big one approaching.
It is indeed. We'll get to Exeter in just a moment. We'll start with the front page of the Racing Post today. Mullins hits out at festival prize money is the headline. Willie Mullins saying that some of the feature races should be worth double. I'm not sure I agree with him, Pimmins,
no,
to be honest.
I certainly don't agree with him either, to be perfectly honest. I can understand where he's coming from. His owners are... He's very, very fortunate position to have owners who are quite prepared to spend anything from 100, 200, 300,000 to buy a horse. But I don't think the people who are buying that type of horse are buying it for the money. They're buying it for the prestige.
Yeah.
And I think whether you win a Gold Cup and it's worth 250,000 or whether you win a Gold Cup worth 500,000... If you own that horse, you've won the blue ribbon, and having that trophy on the old mantelpiece is worth far more than prize money, I should imagine.
Yeah.
So I'm not so sure that the top end of the price spectre really needs it. I think it needs to be right the way through, from the top, through the middle, and very importantly, down the bottom.
Exactly.
Because you can do the sums. Joe Bloggs owns a horse that's 10 grand. It still costs the same to keep each week, and he's racing for 2 grand. Your man who's got the £300,000 horse... he's racing for 300,000 in the Gold Cup, hopefully. So it works itself out with what you pay for what you get sort of thing. And you don't always get what you pay for. And sometimes you get a bit better than what you pay for. You know, that's the great beauty of it. You know, we all live in the dream that we find a horse for not too much money that can go.
Yeah, exactly.
So I don't think I personally don't think the top end is a big issue. I think it's a little bit lower and certainly... The very bottom bit, you know.
There's a nice little table saying, you know, the Ryanair was worth 114,000 in 2008, now worth 170,000. That's the biggest sort of percentage change, if you like.
Yeah.
Most of the races have increased their prize money over the last 7 years.
Well, you'd be bitterly disappointed, though, with the RSA and the Arkle, wouldn't you?
They've dropped over 10%. Yeah.
There's possibly two of the feature races of the meeting. You've got hopefully your Gold Cup horses coming through the RSA, and obviously you've got the Arkle, which is the top race for the 2 mile chasers novices. So, you know, those are the ones you'd have think should have been going up as well rather than coming down.
But still, you've got, say the Ryanair's gone up, what is it, £55,000?
Yeah.
Surely that money could be invested, like you said, lower down the sort of spectrum.
Let's put it this way, fella. If you own a horse and you've got it's good enough to go and run in, let's say, the Ryanair, let's say the World Hurdle, you'd be quite happy to pick up 142 grand. I don't think picking up 170 would make too much of a big deal.
Exactly.
Because you're not going into the race thinking, well, we need 140 odd grand.
Yeah.
You're going into it saying, brilliant, we've got a runner in this top race and we can get anything, we'd be delighted.
Whereas down at the bottom end, you're thinking, well, hang on, if we can win this handicap hurdle worth 7 grand... All of a sudden, if it's worth 10 grand, it means that we can do this with this horse and X with, you know, if you've only got a small number of horses in your yard and they are running in modest races, then the prize money is obviously going to be more important to your livelihood, isn't it?
Of course it is, yeah. And I'm just trying to see what we've got on offer today at Sedgefield prize money wise to see if that relates to anything. I mean, the opening race at Sedgefield this afternoon.
It's 30,000 for the whole card. We're recording this before Thursday's racing.
Yeah, so, you know, you've got the opening race 3-3. 3-3 for the next race, 2 and a bit for the third race, 3-3, 3-8 and 2.5. So, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's money that we're racing for 20 years ago.
Yeah.
You know? So I think it's an issue that we'll never really find the answer to. But I think certainly it needs to be distributed right through.
I agree with you, Pimus, for once. We'll also just touch now on the Grand National. Of course, the weights came out a couple of days ago. We won't go into too much depth on this because we've done this on previous podcasts, but more money for Shut the Front Door, now 9-1 market leader, of course, most likely to be the horse that AP McCoy is going to ride. That's probably why the weight of money is down. Your thoughts on Shut the Front Door? It's really short, isn't it?
It's too short, far too short, and it's only because AP looks like he's going to take that mount. It's going to be his last national ride. You know, the volume of public support on the day, he'll be even shorter. So if you fancy him, I'd back him now, to be perfectly honest. Yeah. But I, again, wouldn't be backing him at 9-1 myself. He's no value there whatsoever. And we're all living the dream that, you know, he might go out winning the Grand National. But yeah. Who knows? I think we'd like to dream and we like to think of fairy tales, but I'm not sure that one will happen. If it does, God help Liverpool, yeah. The place will explode.
It will.
It'll be massive. It'll be wonderful. And it would be good to be there.
Absolutely. Carlingford Lock 25-1 for the National. Don't imagine it'll go there. It's 12-1 for the Gold Cup. And AP did announce yesterday that will be his ride. He's riding Carlingford Lock, I say, over Holywell. Would he have had a decision, would you imagine? Of course, retained by JP McManus.
Yeah, he wouldn't have had a decision, would he?
What one's a John Joe horse? One trained over in Ireland by... It's John Kiley, isn't it?
Yeah, but again, you know... Basically, Mr. McManus has retainer on McCoy, so that'll be it. Simple as that. And to be perfectly honest, I wasn't impressed with Holywell at Kelso.
Were you not? Week.
No, not at all. I think, did we nip him up a little bit? I think it was 12-1 or something. I thought our odds compilers were basically losing the bottle a little bit there.
11s now.
Because he's no value at that for me.
Okay.
At all.
Sylvania Conti 3-1, Many Clouds and Road to Riches 9s, 11s for Holywell, 12s Carlingford Lock, 14s for Coney Green and Lord Windermere, 16s or bigger the rest.
Lord Windermere, for me, still could be the fly in the ointment.
Okay.
He possibly has been building up to this big day. And I thought he ran well enough at Leopardstown last time out. And they've obviously only one date in mind. Friday the 13th. Mm. Do. You know what I mean?
You should be on the tannoy.
That what's it one. Yeah.
Yeah, true.
Friday the 13th. But, I think he might be value. I know he's not... Often they win back-to-back Gold Cup.
Yeah,
but
14-1 as well. He, can
he
back
might be all right
way,
each way. Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'd rather have 14-1 Lord Windermere than 11-1 Holywell.
Okay.
Yeah. And if it comes back to haunt me, dispose of this tape within 50 seconds.
I will do. Okay, we'll move on to Exeter then on Friday. Decent card as well. Down at Exeter on Friday, 2:50. The first race that we're going to look at. It's a mare's handicap hurdle over 2 miles and 3 furlongs. 7 runners going to post for this Class 3 event. You can give a chance to most of these, to be honest, Pim. It's hard to rule any of them out. A lot of mares arriving here in form, barring Molly Zadiva and Bull and Bush. Bull and Bush returning from a very long break. And Molly Zadiva, well, I say not informed. That's because she was pulled up last time, but it was in a much better race. Prior to that, she was a model of consistency, Pimus.
Yeah, she's tough, she's consistent. They threw the darts at the board in that Grade 2 hurdle at Ascot last time out, and it didn't work out for her. But to be fair to that, prior to that, and in this type of company, she was always tough, she was always consistent. And, you know, if you can forgive her that run at Ascot, and I certainly could, then she's definitely a player, despite the burden of 11-12. And she supports the cheap pieces there. Flemintine supports the cheap pieces for the first time for the... Martin Keithley Yard. Andrew Tinkler, interestingly enough, travels from Sedgefield on the Thursday down to Exeter. I think it was at Donny on the Wednesday, so he's a bit of a journeyman this week.
Doesn't often ride for Martin Keithley, does he?
Not often, no, not often. But he's picked up a nice spare ride in the shape of Flemintine. As you quite rightly said, Bull and Bush we haven't seen for a long time. Mystery Drama ran okay, I thought, last time out when she was fourth at Ludlow behind Past the Time. Red Penny ran again well in defeat when finishing second in a mare's only novices hurdle again over tomorrow's trip of... Oh, no, a little bit shorter tomorrow, 2 miles 3, 2 miles 6 when she ran second at Wincanton. She has the service of Miss... Is it Bridget Frost? I think she's the daughter of Jimmy.
Not sure, to be honest, on the first name there.
Right, OK. And then we've got Molo, which is going to be my selection. She ran well enough last time out, I thought, when she finished third in a 2 mile 5 Mersenne novices hurdle at Warwick, when she finished 9 length behind Mirella Royale. And prior to that, she's won a bumper and a hurdle. And this will be her first time in a handicap hurdle. And off a mark of 114, I think she comes here with a big chance. Rosa and Peely as well. That won last time out off a mark of 100. Handicapper took no prisoners, putting up £10 for that success. And to be fair, although she won, she didn't jump particularly well when she made a number of mistakes in the last three or four hurdles. So she'll have to have brushed up her jumping to play tomorrow, and certainly after the handicapper had his say with that up of £10 from 100 to 110. So there you've got it. Seven of them go to post. Competitive little race. But I'm going to side with David Pipe and Tom Scudamore in the shape of Molo.
OK. To 3:20 from Exeter. Next up to Mares Novices Hurdle, 2 miles and 1 furlong the trip. 10 runners going to post. More Mares going to post here.
More Mares, it's a girl fest.
It is.
A girl fest.
It is.
Happy days.
We're very lucky. Maybe not quite the strength in this one, but there's still some nice types, some unexposed types as well. Pretty much all of the ones towards the top of the handicap. It's a novice hurdle, but the top of the race card. You could give chances to, particularly the first three.
Yeah, you certainly could. Knockaid Express, the Kim Bailey runner, was a 14-1 shot when it finished behind Dolores Delight at Wincanton. She's slightly disappointed on that occasion, to be fair, and I thought she would have to up her game a little bit tomorrow. 22's taken. She's been in cracking form of late. She was a very short price favourite last time out, but again, she got beaten by Molasses. But she didn't help her chances there. She was a bit keen early doors. Again, didn't jump particularly well. And she was easily beaten in the end. But again, she's fairly tough. She's consistent. She supports the hood. And you wouldn't leave her out the equation. Always managing. Another interesting one. Warren Greetrick's got a couple of horses in this race. Andrew takes the mount on the Always Managing. And she was a winner of a National Hunt flat race at Warwick last time out. Again, I never think they hold a lot of strength in depth, and unless the market spoke for her, I think it would be a watching brief for her, having her hurdles debut Always Managing. But I like the shape of the stable companion, Hannah's Princess, to be fair. We haven't seen her for 75 days, but I thought she ran well enough last time out at Huntingdon when she was behind Aquiline, and she jumped really well on that, and she just got headed at the last and got run out of it at close home. And I think there possibly could be a little bit more to come from her, Hannah's Princess, and she races off a mark of 118. And the other horse that I thought could be interesting at a big price was Storming Trumpet, who again last time was in a big hurdle race, not just a National Hunt flat race at Cheltenham, beaten a long, long way on that occasion, but prior to that had won its bumper, and there might be a little bit more to come from Storming Trumpet as well. But for me, in that race, I'm going to side with Hannah's Princess.
OK, Hannah's Princess in the 3:20. Next up is, for the record, Pimmers, Bryony Frost.
Bryony Frost, OK,
Daughter of Jimmy.
Yeah, good.
Isn't Google wonderful?
Oh, fabulous, darling, fabulous.
The 4:20 Dex is the final race that we're going to look at. It is a handicap hurdle over almost 3 miles, 2 miles, 7.5 furlongs, 11 runners going to post for this one. And we'll start with Dawson City here, Pimmers, a horse that had shown very, very little and all of a sudden is showing a lot and arrives here on a hat-trick, having been pretty impressive last time.
Oh, yeah, can't fault him. He's certainly, his confidence was buoyed by that success. But again, he raced off a mark of 103 for that first win. He then went up to 111 for his second win. And now he's up another £9 to 120. So it's whether he can continue on that very much upward curve, racing off a mark of £17 higher than when he had his first success. So interesting player. Couldn't have won any easier than he did last time out. And the handicapper, to be fair, had no option but to take some fairly evasive action. Other horse I thought was interesting here was Qualanis, is that how I'm going to pronounce it?
Kalinas.
Kalinas, yeah. The French bred for David Pipe and Mr. D.G. Noonan. He ran well enough, I thought, last time out, to be honest, when he didn't jump the second last very well. And he just got beat, to be fair, but half a length behind Cash Injection at Chepstow. I think this young claimer will certainly help with his £7 off his back. So that could be an interesting player. I thought Todd was interesting as well. He's been sort of mixing and matching over hurdles and on the flat. When he won, he was off a mark of 108. He raced off a mark of 113 tomorrow. So again, a little bit higher in the weights. And after all that waffling, I'm not going to go for any of them. I'm going to go for Master Malt.
Okay, AP McCoy for John Drew O'Neill.
Yeah, again, he hasn't been seen for 91 days. I thought he ran well enough in defeat as well on the last time we saw him when he was a 20-1 shot. And he has done some winning in the past. And I think he was just, again, running at a time when John Joe's horses were out of form. They can do no wrong at the moment. And I think he's more than likely still well enough a mark of 120. So Master Malt for me in that 4:20 in Exeter.
OK, Master Malt then in the final race that we're going to look at. Can you spin us for your three picks for Exeter on Friday, please, Bernice?
Yeah, we can indeed. And in that first mare's handicap hurdle, post time of 2:50, we're going to go for Molo. Looking at the second race, we're going to go in the 3:20 for, again, another mare's novices hurdle, but this time going to take a chance with the Warren Greetrix-trained Hannes Princess. And then the 4:20, the coming down the pub, my son, handicap hurdle. I've always fancied that. I'm going to go with Master Malt.
Lovely stuff, Bemis. Thanks very much for your time and enjoy Friday's racing.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.